Alrighty, this is Around the Water Cooler. It's the more slightly more specific, generalized discussion show that we like to do. The
more water cooler centric.
There might be some water coolers. Basically, this is the one where the show where we try to dig a little deeper into some of the topics that come up in geek culture and stuff like that. And one of the biggest ones going on right now is Captain America: Civil War.
And we are
Robots Attack. Is the name of the overall show. This specific element is called Around the Water Cooler.
And you are?
I am Caleb.
And?
I'm Jason.
And I'm Joe. It helps. We should, you know, if someone just listened to us for the first time.
That's a very good point. As you can tell, this is the one we don't do nearly as often, not quite as well oiled as the our usual show, Robots Attack, on KSCU Santa Clara. But
the squeaky wheel gets the grease, so
yeah,
we're angling for that grease.
All the grease. We just had some grease earlier.
Yes, that's true. Yes, the power-up meal for the geek talk.
Right.
Our subject of discussion tonight is Captain America: Civil War. And first of all, thoughts and opinions, generalizing just like the movie as a whole.
It was much more civil than I actually expected it to be. I know that sounds like a joke, but I'm actually serious. Everybody was kind of pulling their punches in a way that made sense. And I actually kind of appreciated that instead of rigging up the "guy, I want to kill you now" mentality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought that was a very nice just kind of first step in making a quality movie.
Yeah, making the all the protagonists and antagonists somewhat likable.
Yeah, there's actual history with these characters. They're not just going to 100% turn on each other right away.
Yeah.
And it could be disappointing for some people just because you're not going to get a full-blown, like, murderous rampage type thing, but those people are probably bad people. So we don't want to cater to them.
Fair enough. Joe, what would you think?
Yeah, I agree with Jason. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And they did a good job of sort of making both sides, whether you agree or disagree with the one, like, still believable in a sense, like why that person would think the way they think. And, you know, you could still understand each side, even like I said, even if you did tend to side with one more than the other, you're sort of like, well, okay, I can still see the other point versus some other movies that maybe we'll talk about later or something.
Yeah.
Where it really seemed like, why would anybody think like this other person's side?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I enjoyed, the fact that they actually still had the philosophical conflict of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, Captain America. They still had that philosophical like headbutting, but they didn't necessarily think that the other one was 100% wrong. They just did not agree with the way they were approaching things and the way they wanted to proceed forward. And it's like, it was just not, it was kind of just nice, refreshing. Like, oh, they actually have something like the history of the past 8 years of Marvel movie making has also helped with, we can actually tell a character driven story about this philosophical difference between two of the biggest heavy hitters of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. And then still made them like not, like each Tony and Steve, like even had sort of personal things to them that, like, if you're a normal human being, even if you have like, okay, this is the side I'm on, like, there's still, you could still see, like with Steve, you know, with Bucky, like, you know, there's still maybe some of that is still clouding his judgment also.
Right.
And like, but with Tony, but it's like, it felt natural. Cause like, that's kind of what like a normal human being would have, like, some sort of, you know, clouding of judgment. Even it wasn't just like, this is where I stand, but it still made sense. Like, you weren't just like, he's just doing that cause of this. Like, well, it still fit their characters, but
yeah. Yeah, that was a nice thing too. Like, the characters seem to be behaving in ways that a person might actually behave. Like, it wasn't like, well, the script needs to advance and therefore this. Like, every so often, like, you know, there were certain things like, yeah, they might have just kind of moved that along, but at the same time, like, it still felt like there was real. Well, superheroes aren't necessarily people, but like real like personality behind the decisions being made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it felt like their characters were believable enough. They're like, okay, like they're sticking with that. Like it doesn't feel like, whoa, this kind of feels like out of left field. Like mm-hmm. they had enough stuff that supported, you know, each of their choices and stuff like that, and you know, so that's what still made it fun and not. Not just like, oh, I hate this other character because they're on the other side and it's just so annoying every time they pop up. But
right.
it was still interesting getting both sides. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool. Now, in the lead up to this movie, like there was a lot of trailers. A lot of trailers. And yeah. I'm including the, well, let's show you the next 10 minutes of this fight.
Yeah.
As a trailer, because it wasn't the movie. It was samples of the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, did either of you guys feel like that they would kind of overdid this whole thing? Or, you know, like, because I just kind of curious, like, because it seemed like there was a lot of footage of the film, like, brought out to the audiences before the movie was even released.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I say yes, and I mm-hmm. avoided like as much as I could not seeing. So I'd be curious if the rest of you guys ended up seeing all the stuff they already showed. And
I watched everything, best I know.
Okay, did that like kind of take not like completely kill some of the stuff, but like would have been kind of cool to have not seen some of that stuff.
If it was a lesser movie, it would have been a problem. But since it was a very competent movie that. 95% of the movie was genuinely interesting and fun to watch. Seeing that little chunk didn't end up killing all that much to me. I think for a lot of people, the big surprise was adding having Spider-Man in it. I mean, a lot of people knew that Spider-Man was going to be in it if they were paying attention to all of the production notes and whatnot. But
yeah, you can't hide that on IMDb when a person gets a credit listing.
Right. But a lot of people didn't know, too. And so that was kind of a spoiler for a lot of people. But considering how well they handled all of the stuff surrounding Spider-Man and how little of that fight they showed him participating in, I didn't have any problem with that. There was one thing that ended up screwing it up for me, but even then it wasn't a huge deal, just because they had a lot of samples of the Captain America versus Iron Man fighting in the commercials. And so as you're going through it, you kind of pick out those scenes and you're like, okay, well, that's where they did this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't like gigantic, like killer fight scenes, it didn't ruin those individual fights. But once you like sort of counted off all those in your head and you saw that there was one missing, it was like, wait, everything's actually cool right now.
Yeah.
And I know that scene is left. And that ruined something for me, because that's when the things started clicking together. It's like, okay, what do they have to work with that would cause a fight here? It's like, oh, crap. I now know what the rest of the plot of this is. But it didn't sound like that was a major problem for a lot of people. So it seems like they pulled it off even with that. That was the worst thing to me.
Yeah, for myself, I tried to – like I saw the two trailers in the theater, and then I'm like – no, I don't really need to see anything else. I am 100% okay with where my knowledge of this movie is. My ticket has been sold. Mm-hmm. You all can count me in the statistics already. But yeah, I remember hearing a lot of people talk about it. I'm like, wow, that's the thing that's out there. I don't need to know.
Yeah.
And I think this also goes back to, goes into like the two different types of personalities that they're trying, like the breadth, I should say, of demographic they're trying to reach. Like some people, they have no idea like what the history of, or like they want to catch people with the spectacle of some of the larger scale events that happen in the movie. And then there's those.
Well, that's why the Spider-Man thing was such a big thing for a lot of people who thought it was a big spoiler, just because the brand awareness of Spider-Man across the world is gigantic. I think the only thing that outmatches it, last time I saw, was like Mickey Mouse and Batman. Other than that, like people pretty much are able to pick that out right away. And if they didn't know, it was a huge deal for them, I'd assume. But
yeah, he's a pretty iconic character. Now, you sounds like you did. You were kind of a similar boat to me, Joe. You didn't like watch a lot of the extra stuff.
Yeah, just like the trailers when I sort of had to see them. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were attached to a movie I was seeing in the theater. But yeah, anytime there was like, hey, here's a clip of this fight, but nope, not clicking on that link. Nope, I don't want to know about that. I'm fine. I don't need to see this.
Yeah, the worst was that like some people made them like auto playing videos on their websites. So I'm like, oh, interesting thing about don't hold it against you for putting it up there. I just don't want to see it. Control W.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much we want to get into this even at this point, but I think a lot of us were kind of scared about being burned. As hard as people were on the Batman v Superman thing, since they definitely went for broke on all of the trailers on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another one.
So because they showed like maybe 30% of the fights in that movie in the trailers, I think it's easy to feel like you might end up having the same problem with the Captain America, but luckily, there was a ton of action in this.
Yeah, good quality action.
So it wasn't as much of a spoiler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say also, like, after, you know, we saw the movie and stuff like that, I saw another little ad for it, like, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they show Ant-Man going big.
Yeah.
And grabbing War Machine. And I was like, wow, if I hadn't seen the movie, that would really suck to see that, because that was a really cool surprise moment in that.
Like, yeah. I'm actually a little surprised that you say they did that, because I would have been like, no, guys, that's like a thing for the movie. Like, this is the big screen. You want to see that. Like, what?
I sort of don't have a problem with it from this perspective, is that at that point, best I understand, they released that commercial maybe a week after, when the numbers had already gone like absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that was just them like, well, if that didn't impress you, I guess we'll throw in this one thing. And if that doesn't impress you, we'll give up.
But yeah. And yeah. I'm sure that in like, you know, 3D IMAX or whatever your like extra letters on your 3D movie is, I'm sure that scene is even more impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I would have preferred, like, okay, maybe hold off on that one for a couple weeks. Like, say you're like, oh, I couldn't see it, like, opening weekend. Like, you know, like.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, it's interesting, to, like, the way as more of these movies get made and as more of them are wildly successful, like, how they're learning, figuring out how to market them in a way that isn't, like, you know, weird or like kind of undoing what they're getting into, what they want to portray. So,
well, okay. And I feel that's like kind of one of the big things about this movie, is it feels like in general, the Marvel movies that have done like incredibly well versus just been like, oh, okay, that was a decent movie, have been the ones where it feels like, and we've ended up hearing directors afterwards saying like, well, I didn't like the process of having to go back and forth with the producers all the time and okaying like absolutely everything with them. It started to feel like not my deal. And like Joss Whedon is at the end of doing Ultron. He was just like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not going to do anymore.
Right.
Because of that specifically. And he even cited like the early stuff with Ant-Man with Edgar Wright at the time, which he did like kind of a small solidarity thing with Edgar Wright. At the moment, I think he did like a little tiny tweet or something like that. But this time he outright said that I feel like they're going the wrong direction, that they're clamping down on people's creative process a little bit too much. Mm. So what ends up being interesting about this one to me is I have no idea how much of it is that the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
That the Russo brothers are either really good at cooperating with the producers,
mm-hmm.
or if the producers are actually hands off with them. Because to me, it seems like the possibility of the producers being hands off with anybody at this point is pretty low. Because even though they make directors angry, they get the numbers that they're shooting for, mm-hmm. and so they yeah. seem they know what they're doing as far as making money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's one of the things about movies is that they are ultimately business.
Yeah,
despite the fact that we get entertained by them in the meantime.
So yeah, I'm really hoping at some point we get some insight into that interaction between the producers and the Russo brothers, just because either they gave them free rein or they're just really good at implementing the things that other people didn't want to deal with.
Yeah. And it might be also between the two of them. Like, one of them might have the personality is like, okay, I can talk to the suits. I can help. I can get them to think our idea is their idea and we can just keep going. Or, it's hard to, it's so hard to know, since that's kind of, that's the part of movie making magic they don't say anything about.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of going off that note, mm-hmm. like the only part to me that stands out where it felt a little like tacked on, I say in mm-hmm. air quotes, mm-hmm. which still though I'll say they did a good job with it,
mm-hmm.
was just Spider-Man. Like that scene of Tony going like, I know a guy. And then all of a sudden we go to, see Peter Parker.
Right.
That felt very like, okay, we need to have introduced Spider-Man because mm-hmm. we got a Spider-Man movie coming out. It was still really well done, but it was one part of the movie that felt like out of place, kind of.
Right.
Like they still did a good job of tying it in with, like, how Tony feels, like, in asking Spider-Man, what do you want to do the right thing, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Like, they did a decent enough job of trying to weave it in with what was going on,
mm-hmm.
but it did feel like, hey, here's Spider-Man coming soon,
It still
had that feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Especially as, like, when they show the very final little scene.
Yeah, which in Age of Ultron, the scene in that one that was tacked on that a lot of people talked about was the scene with Thor going into the water thing. Like, to me, that didn't feel really out of place, like, just because of what they're building with Thanos and everything going on. Like,
right.
It didn't feel quite as out, like, just because it's like, well, there's all this bigger thing that's going on. So it would kind of make sense that, like, of all the characters, like, Thor could kind of step out and do some other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like,
mm-hmm.
he's not a human. So, there's other things that are going on. Whereas this one, it felt a little more like a commercial for Spider-Man, but a really well-made commercial for Spider-Man.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's funny how everybody mentions the Thor thing, mostly to me, because the Ultron movie, I still have like mixed feelings about it. I felt like I enjoyed it pretty well, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it was as good as a lot of the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give it this, is that I have, this is maybe too personal, I don't know, but I have like sleeping disorder, so I end up falling asleep at the drop of a hat. And so if a movie doesn't hold my attention, I will be asleep like really quickly.
Mm.
And for some reason in that entire Ultron movie,
uh-huh.
that Thor scene is the only place I fell asleep. And best I can tell, I woke up almost immediately after it.
Oh, okay.
And so I keep hearing people talk about this scene, and it's like, that's interesting. I haven't seen it. Apparently, according to some people, it was better that way. So
I don't think the movie lacks because you didn't see it.
It's okay.
The part that you're probably getting the most out of. Yeah, I really liked the way they handled a lot of things. The Spider-Man stuff, I can see your point that it's kind of the like, hey, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I appreciate the fact that they didn't spend like another 15 minutes on that, going, and here's your origin story. Yeah. Here's where you came from. And then they shot your uncle. You felt really guilty about this. And it's like, I just enjoy the fact that they're like, okay, this kid, he's Spider-Man. He's still a kid.
Yeah.
And
they set up his moral compass.
Mm-hmm. He's still like, you can tell that he wants to do the right thing. All the, and like, you know, it just, I felt like they did a really nice job of summing up Spider-Man in about 5 minutes.
And I like that they explained the eyes. I thought that was really good.
The suit?
Yeah.
Yeah. In general, I just thought that they did a really good job of like, we don't need to tell the story of this character for a, like, what, fourth, fifth time?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they kind of figure everyone who's seeing this probably knows enough about Spider-Man. Like, we can get into a little bit more when his movie comes out, even though they've said it's not going to be an origin story. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So
it's
so,
apparently
yeah.
an actual comic storyline. The Homecoming gave it away. It's a relatively current storyline.
Hmm. Very cool.
So since the big thing that I've been hearing split with people on Spider-Man is, I know this is going to be really hot stuff
big
right
time.
Now.
Look out.
I get comfortable. How
do you guys feel about him being a younger Spider-Man, and how well do you think this character did that, and so on?
I really liked the Spider-Man. I like Tobey Maguire because I think he was a really good Peter Parker and a decent Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield, really good Spider-Man, decent Peter Parker. This kid seems thus far to have a nice blending of the two character traits of Spider-Man and Peter Parker.
Well said.
And he...
thank you.
He's
a blender.
He's a spider blender.
Mix and chill.
Mix and chill. I enjoyed the fact that the Spider-Man has... The Spider-Man finally feels like a complete Peter Parker Spider-Man.
The whole package.
The whole enchilada. Yeah, that's my take.
And you, Joe?
Yeah, I agree both. I think for the style of each of those other Spider-Man movies, like they cast...
Yes.
Like, I don't want to say perfect person, but you know, like... Okay, that's the kind of movies
Makes
they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it seemed like, okay, we want a young, just fun, excited Spider-Man.
Yeah, right.
And so, bam, I think they did a good job of with this actor and just how he was just having a ton of like fun during that fight.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see like both Ant-Man and Spider-Man like were sort of... They played sort of the same role in that fight.
Yeah.
Like, which was cool. It was just a sort of different perspective. They were both, like, excited to be there and still, like, I just was like, wow, Captain America, you're so cool. Like, for Ant-Man, it's like, hey, I know who you are. You're great, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. And he, like, touches him just like Peggy did in Captain America. But yeah, it was neat to... have those two characters be like the ones like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, you're really
like
neat. But
superheroes.
Yeah. And that's kind of what's been missing from, there isn't really one of those characters in any of these. Like, sort of like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, to be here, I'm sort of neat, but still make it fit. Like, so it was nice. Like, that was a nice injection into
it's cool for bringing new people into the series too.
Yeah,
have somebody that you feel like you can relate to.
And I also like that they played that against like the hardened, quote unquote, hardened veterans of Bucky and Falcon really well in the scenes too. They're like, no, seriously, rookie, knock it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the little line about, you know, people don't normally talk this much. And now if I, and he's all apologetic about it.
Yeah.
That was dead on.
I think they got the quippy, this was like the quippiest Spider-Man thus far. And I guess that's what I would feel like was missing from some of the others. Like, they had elements of that Spider-Man in some of the others. But like, this one's like, yes, quippy, fast thinking, like,
yeah,
super kind of excited about the kinetic energy. Like, your shield does not obey any of the Newtonian laws of physics.
Yeah. I think what's nice, I think, about having, especially with this kind of Spider-Man, as like part of an ensemble, where the Spider-Man sort of standalone movies, he has to kind of be all of these things. Like, you have to have, like, okay, a little bit of that fun, but then he still's got to be serious. He's still, like, there's a lot of weight on that for that character, where for this, he can kind of be just whatever they sort of need him to be. So if they want to just have some fun kind of wisecracking character, if they do a good job, like, which they've done so far, he's perfect for that. Or, you know, then you can still have kind of some serious moments, but it was nice to see that sort of side of Spider-Man. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is cool. Like, it's fun just to see him in those short bursts, like, with everyone else.
Yeah. And one thing is that in general felt was really satisfying about this movie is that it felt like a lot of the characters had an arc, even if it was a short arc. It felt like each of them had something to do and something to be and something to understand about themselves, the world, the conflict that they're in.
Yeah.
And
they all had a turn being a special snowflake.
Yeah. They all had the moment to shine in the storyline, and also, like, kind of like, and it just was really interesting to see them enjoy be a part of a something larger than just, like, their movie.
I will say, though, with that fight, it was kind of funny, like, how I noticed it more, like, when I saw it the second time, like, they kind of push Vision, like, off to the side, like, during that fight, you don't really see him that much, and you're kind of like, okay, because, you know, he's pretty powerful compared to a lot of them, so they kind of, when they need to show that he's there, like, they have him, but it was still, like, good. Like, I even kind of, like, I thought, like, oh, hey, where's Vision? But it didn't, like, how come Vision wasn't? So they still did a good job. But, yeah, it was kind of funny seeing, like, let's just kind of push him over here a little bit when we need him to pop in.
Yeah, because, like, we really need Thor to balance the Vision in terms of, like, raw power for the scenes. Like, yeah, maybe we'll just sort of let that.
Well, Scarlet Witch, too. I mean, in... Mm-hmm. Both of them were the ones that I was most concerned about in this movie because they have basically limitless potential for damage and screwing things up. So it was kind of interesting seeing that, especially in that fight scene, that Scarlet Witch, she was the only one who was kind of going for broke in the entire fight. And she's actually, I forget who she kind of corrected, like, you're pulling your punches or something like that.
Oh, she was talking to Hawkeye.
Okay. So, yeah, it was interesting seeing her, like, really going for it and throwing, like, massive things around and, like, really using her powers in effective and neat-looking ways. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is a little bit disappointing now that I'm thinking back on it and not having kind of an equal thing with Vision. But... I think it's interesting, too, with Vision that he's – we haven't really seen him have to go for broke on anything yet. So I wonder if that's part of the character at this point.
Yeah.
Is knowing – him trying to get a feel for how he can effectively use his powers without killing people.
Yeah.
Because it seems like so far he's been kind of pulling his punches across the board, except for, like, the finishing in
Age of Ultron. Yeah, but then he's going against another synthetic, so it's kind of he can't not pull his punch if he wants to come out on top against something that's as equal to him.
And these are
fleshy beings; they don't actually, like, take a punch like Ultron does.
And it's still like. It still fits, like, he wouldn't be going to try and kill these guys and everything like that. They're still friends and that sort of thing. So this movie had, like, luck and, like, all these little perfect ingredients for it to just make things sort of make sense, even just, like, if you, I guess, you know, really had to look at it and talk about it, like, you could, but it was just enough stuff that you're like, you know what, like, I don't need to worry about that. Like, it just there's this, it fits, that it's fine.
Yeah.
So, like, they, you know, have the little, the moments of, you know, Vision and Scarlet Witch, like, they're dehumanizing, both, yeah, like talking with each other and, you know, building kind of a relationship side of things. So there's that element to why they wouldn't go all out on certain things, and just there's just stuff where it's like, you know, it makes enough sense. It's yeah. fine. It doesn't need to.
Well, I think we've mentioned this in like other podcasts about other movies. Is it's as long as you can keep the action going and it makes sense and it doesn't feel cheap. It as long as you can keep people's brains going in a pleasurable way.
Yeah.
They'll forgive a lot of stuff. And it's basically what I was expecting from this and the Batman v Superman movie, is just them going for broke on that. And it's what I really enjoyed about this, is that even at times where they could have just used that effect to let people roll with it, they put that extra little bit of thought into practically every scene. And that, I think that's why people are coming away from this movie like feeling like they want to see it another time and another time. So,
and I think too, like for me, I really enjoyed the villain in this. Like I liked that. I liked his ultimate goal. Like what he was trying to do. Like it wasn't like they kind of tease you a little bit. It was like, oh, he wants those other super soldiers so he can create an army.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that that's not what he wanted. Like it was so cool. Just like, I want them. And that line of just his whole thing of, oh, you know, if empire is crushed by your enemies, it can be rebuilt. But if it's crushed from within, it, you know, that's no chance of rebuilding, or, you know, it's even harder. And so that was just really cool. Like that he actually killed those super soldiers and just like, I want you guys to take each other out. And even at the very end, he was like, oh, when, when Bilbo was like, you know, oh, you failed. And you're like, how's it feel to fail so much? And I was like, well, did I fail? And, you know, the, you can kind of look at it like, well, they're still buddies at the end, but he did kind of fracture.
Oh, yeah.
He did create like two different teams. Like he did put something in there. So
Avengers East, Avengers West has been created effectively.
But yeah, I just, I liked that, that it wasn't, it wasn't just, you know, kind of a typical villain.
I want to conquer the world, and you also feel my wrath.
It, like, it was cool that he was actually, and you, I liked how he's going through, you know, like trying to find this mission report, and just you're not like, you're not completely sure like what he's trying to do until like there are moments kind of towards the end, like you sort of alluded it with the kind of seeing some of the fights, and it could kind of tell like, oh, I think I know, you know, ultimately what's going to happen, but it was still like a cool journey of just like, what, wonder what does he really have up his sleeve? Like, what are the different things he wants to do? And
yeah, I felt like that this one did a really good job of having a mystery to be solved as well as a conflict to be resolved.
Yeah.
It had like these two threads that wove together to make the overarching plot. Now that was very satisfying because it gave everyone a pretty decent motivation. You know, from Black Panther to Scarlet Witch to Bucky to Iron Man, like everyone had, and even and Zemo himself, like everyone had something that logically compelled them to reach the ends which they achieved.
Yeah,
and that was that was very satisfying. Just like even if it wasn't like this. This great movie, which it is, like if it was just a decent movie, like that's still something satisfying in movie making that I feel like a lot of movies miss sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've sort of heard some of the arguments like, well, if he just signed this, it would have prevented all this, or if he just done this. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, it's like, obviously it wouldn't be a movie then, but, you know, it's like, it's still a fun, like, journey, and it still made sense. Like, of course, you know,
they had enough scenes in, they had enough scenes in between that explained his way of thinking on that too. And I'm kind of in the same place. Like me personally, I didn't 100% respect a lot of Captain America's choices on it, and I feel like he needlessly escalated things multiple times. But you counterbalance it with all of the other stuff that was happening at the time, and it did click. It made sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting too, like the Zemo thing. Effectively, it ends up being that his entire drive ends up being the exact same thing that drove that one woman to confront Iron Man at the beginning of the movie in front of the elevator. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting kind of pull from the beginning to the end mm-hmm. of the movie.
Yeah.
Is that effectively the thing that pushed Iron Man into all of the stuff that he was doing is the same thing that started all of this crud in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel like they actually did a decent job of kind of like examining what is the world like when you have beings that have this much power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the world literally changes. Like you cannot have the same sort of society as a result of this. You can try, but it's going to be, like, there's these weird, like, skewing weights that happen when yeah. you have these localized powers, like the heroes.
When they brought back the character from Edward Norton Hulk movie, mm-hmm. The general, as soon as I saw him, it's like, okay, well, that explains how everything's going to fall apart, because this guy is just going to lose it and start doing crazy stuff, and that'll be the explanation. So it was kind of neat seeing that not being the thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And not having it be like, oh, crazy military, we got to stop them. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting, especially since they already have the precedent of him going nuts on stuff in similar situations. So having them kind of ratchet back on that was really interesting to me.
I wonder if it's also kind of not so much a response to that, but maybe like it's showing that this character kind of grew as a result of the actions in that other movie that didn't directly lead to this one, but like kind of like historically.
I would have liked that, but the ending of that movie makes it sound like he didn't learn anything. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they'll have some other stuff that kind of shows how that character grew. It does make sense that he seeing more of the super stuff, maybe it would end up balancing him out somewhat, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I appreciate that they changed that up a little bit from kind of the standard. It seems like there's so many movies that go for like you just have to have an evil government guy. That's yeah, kind of the solution for everything.
Yeah,
Jason Bourne movies. Yeah,
right.
Which are still good, but...
Well, yeah, they're good. But like they had a preview for the next Jason Bourne movie, and I turned to the person next to me and was like, wait, is there anybody left in the CIA? I think he's killed, like, all of them, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I do, too. I like how this one ended where they weren't all just, like, back on the same team again. Like, hey, yeah. Like, nothing happened. I like that there's this fracture.
There's
like,
consequences. There's
still, yeah, like, that was nice. Like,
yeah.
It was like, whoa, that's cool. They're not, like, just... all back in the same building again, like, hey, sorry yeah. about that, man. Like,
it is funny, like, the one sort of thing that is sort of the like, oh, this general is bad, blah, 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 is having that prison that they ended up locking up these people. But it is it's funny not having Tony Stark, of all people, not thinking through the situation, because he had to have known that as soon as he's set up as the police to go and incarcerate somebody, I mean, they're not going to just let him free again. Uh-huh. That seemed it was interesting having that being like the sort of government bad type of thing. But even that, it was just like a logical thing. It wasn't like, oh, these are horrible, horrible people for doing it. It's like, well, what do you do when somebody that powerful breaks the law?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and I got to say, too, like, I love the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the fight with the, I guess, crossbones.
Crossbones, yeah.
I did,
yeah,
too.
That was just fun. Like, that was a fun way to kick off this movie. Like, mm-hmm. okay, here's, you know, obviously it's like what sparks this, you know.
The events that travel on to the rest of the film, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a well choreographed fight scene. Like, it was cool seeing mm-hmm. everyone throw down, like, how they kind of work together. And
I like that Crossbones had a plan for how to deal with
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so cool. Like, oh, need to get rid of your shield. Oh, all a sticky bomb on it.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think this movie does more than a lot of other superhero movies have done, is that everybody has kind of thought through how to work with their teammates and work against their enemies, and how to turn their strengths and weaknesses, like how to bend that to their own design. And like, it's like, villains and heroes that think,
my goodness,
this is like some sort of a paradox.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if they give sort of like Crossbones, it's nothing grand or anything as far as like, intricate plot of his plans or anything. Like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to sell some stuff. I want to get some stuff, get Captain America's attention, mm-hmm. kind of thing, so I can take him on. Like, it was still just so fun. Like, it didn't need to be anything like,
yeah. Like, it doesn't need to be a big plan, but like the fact that he had any kind of plan is like beyond like, world domination is like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a cool, like, revenge thing for him, like, plan for him. Like, mm-hmm. okay, this is how I'm going to get Captain America's attention. This is how, like, if I do these sort of things. And
that opening scene also perfectly integrated characters into the team that we hadn't really seen function very well as a team yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Scarlet Witch, and she did a lot of really cool things. I love the entire, like, her tossing Captain America around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's funny because it ends up sort of being like the shot where Alfred launches Batman into the one building with the Batwing, except that she's doing it with pure magic. But yeah, and then also having Falcon, I feel like they must have really, really upgraded him and probably like increased the amount of Stark tech that he has on him by like tenfold or something like that. Because he was way cooler in this.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool that they like made his wings. Like, he could use them sort of as a shield in a sense too. Like,
yeah, I think these are aspects that have like been at, like, they drew them out of the comics, but they actually did it. They show it in a way that makes the character more interesting on screen as well, and that was really nice.
Because mm-hmm.
like a guy with wings. Oh no, these are techno wings, and they have and he has the drone. I think was one of the best things. Like,
his love for the drone is what I
think. Yeah.
He has a name. Can't remember the name right now, but I'm not calling it that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually the one thing that made me really nervous at the very beginning is that they start the thing where the first special effects shot of it is that little drone flying around. It's like, oh, this looks kind of cheesy. I don't think. And they get better. And it got better really fast.
yes. So, in the realm of Marvel films, there's quite the spectrum, quite the hero selection. How would you guys place this in your Marvel pantheon? And you can, give the your highs and lows and go from there.
To me, top three, Guardians of the Galaxy, number one. This, probably number two. And the first Avengers, number three.
Joe?
Yeah, I'd do the same. I'm torn with three. I'm not sure if I'd say maybe Winter Soldier is three. But, I'd say Guardians still tops this, just like partly like wow, how much they did a good job pulling that off, and just how different it was from everything else. And this is probably number two. Like, I was shocked that it ended up being that high, but I'm so glad it was. Like, I think I mentioned to you guys, like, wow, I never would have guessed when a lot of these movies were starting that two of the three Captain America movies would be in my top five for sure. Like, I never,
especially after the first
that.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost my exact reaction as well. I was like, huh? So my favorite Marvel movies are the Captain America movies. I really did not expect that. Like, I thought they would be good, but like, I really like these movies.
Yeah.
I'm not completely surprised, just because, with especially the comic books the Ultimate series, Captain America was a really good character in those.
True, they turned him into a much more interesting character in those.
And so I had high hopes that they would do that, and they far exceeded my hopes
in
anything that they've done in the comic books, as far as I can tell, with Captain America.
Did he just, like, there's that fear of, like, uh-oh, is he going to be Supermanified? Like,
But
no, they pull it off. They still make him, like, they've made him an interesting character. They've made him good. Like,
he's still relatable as a human being and yada, yada.
Yeah.
Marvel?
Yeah.
All right, so mentioning Superman, that leads us to the inevitable comparison that must be drawn between these two, between Captain America: Civil War and Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Both of them with very long titles, but that's a different issue entirely. So, just to recap, how did you guys feel about Batman v Superman? Like, five sentences or so, like, you know, general feelings.
I don't think I can do that many sentences.
take as few as you need.
I was definitely out of the ordinary as far as I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. So I didn't think there was anything that completely killed the movie to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wish I could have seen it again. Mm-hmm. So I just saw it once, but I thought it was okay. Like, it's hard now, like, with Civil War to compare. Like, makes it like wow, Civil War was really good. They did a good job of you know, the heroes fighting each other kind of thing. So it makes this one even less like. But yeah, I think. I mentioned before, like, you had brought up, to me, what was missing with Batman v Superman was it didn't have to be fun. Like, the Marvel movies are kind of going for that. Like, you know, as our argument, like, oh, all comic movies have to be fun. It's like, no, they don't have to be fun, but they should be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is what you mentioned. And to me, that's what was missing, like, a lot out of Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. And so not having either of those elements really killed it for me. So I definitely am not in the group of like, oh, this is the worst movie ever, but it was just really disappointing. And I just wish it was more exciting. And
I'm with you. I was disappointed in that one. I do not hate it, but I am disappointed by it. And I feel like its biggest flaw in my mind was that it was messy. It felt like it was, to me, it was like four or five moderately interesting movies that got mashed into one not entirely interesting movie because I couldn't follow. It didn't feel like it was following itself through to the end very well. And I just was like,
yeah, like where Civil War to me did a good job of showing Tony's perspective and, you know, Captain America's perspective and just most people's perspective.
And making those perspectives relatable.
Relatable, yes. And even if you didn't agree with them completely, you could still understand where they're kind of coming from.
You still had empathy for them, you didn't have agreement.
Yeah. With this one, or with Batman vs. Superman, it was kind of like, well, I didn't think they did a good enough job sort of showing both sides, like, where it was like, all right, like, if I think I've mentioned before, if maybe they had just shown like the movie from Batman's perspective, then like it might have been more interesting for me. Like some of the elements of like, I could kind of see where he's coming from. Like I get it, but it was just kind of like, well, okay. And then the motivation behind their fight, which is what most people are going to see the movie for, like want to see, was completely ruined, I think, personally. But with what Lex did and just the whole thing, like, but yeah, I don't know. It's just
yeah, the
I love Wonder Woman. I thought she mm-hmm. was awesome. And like, yeah. I mean, also going back to showing like all the fights, like since we already knew like, oh, Doomsday, they're all going to fight Doomsday. And just the, that kind of, I don't know, I guess it's getting harder to enjoy like, a team taking on like a giant creature. Like there's no, mm-hmm. like what made the Civil War battle when they all fought each other, like it was just so fun, like them cutting to each of the characters and mm-hmm. doing neat little things.
Yeah.
This, it was just like, here's this giant creature and they're like punching it or yeah. shooting some stuff at it. Like it was like, I liked seeing Wonder Woman mostly because it was the first time like, whoa, this new character like doing stuff, but it was still kind of like, like this,
yeah,
that's yeah. cool. But
something that I ended up wishing that they would have done specifically for that was, especially when I started thinking about connecting all of the other superhero movies we've had over the years, and this is reaching back like pretty far into Marvel, but mm-hmm. when you had the fight scenes with I forget his name at this point, but the guy from Lie to Me, when he was playing sort of the commando guy trying to take on the Hulk.
Yeah.
I thought those were very, Tim Roth's character. I thought those were really effective fight scenes of a little guy trying to take on a big thing.
Uh-huh.
Even though he didn't necessarily do any damage, at least it was an exciting scene.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was something that they should have at least learned from for this, to at least have Batman like have a more important role in it. But
I think it's hard too, just because we've now seen a lot of movies that kind of have that, so it's sort of it's lost a little bit of that spectacle. Like it's still, for some reason, like in anime or cartoons, like it can still be pretty powerful for me. But mm-hmm. yeah, like mm-hmm. now seeing sort of the movies, like, well, we've seen a few Hulk movies, we've seen a few sort of giant creature people fighting. So for me, it's some of that spectacle is kind of lost now. So it makes me curious how they're going to handle, I mean, let's go back to Marvel, but like with Thanos, like,
yeah,
I think they'll be able to do it. But yeah, it's like some of that giant creature sort of thing sort of lost some of its punch.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Personally, like plot wise, I thought the use of Doomsday was a mistake in my mind. I was like, Doomsday? You're trotting out Doomsday in movie 2? Like, wow, guys. I don't know if I would go with that. It's like leading with a death card. It's like of some sort or another. It's like, oh yeah, and then we're gonna like play this for right now. It's like I barely even know some of these characters.
Yeah,
I have this movie to introduce me to them, but like, I don't know. It just felt like it was like a really big card to play so early in the story arc of these characters.
Yeah, I guess since their idea of how to unite was the death of Superman, like I guess mm-hmm. it would have to be like that's who they'd have to pick, I guess.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not saying it's good or bad, just like, yeah, it is. Since it looks like that was sort of their goal to get like
everyone together.
Well, everyone, I say Batman and Wonder Woman, yeah. I guess, was Superman dying. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that movie. It's just.
And I was a little bit annoyed that they killed off Superman in this movie. I'm like, this is the second time on the big screen. For this Superman. This Superman has Man of Steel, which was decent. I liked Man of Steel. It had its flaws, but I enjoyed it.
And then
you get to this one, and like, I'm liking elements of it, but this movie as a whole is going a little bit off the rails. And now, wait, what? You actually went with the death of Superman. I was, okay. Was not, I really, I guess I saw it coming, but like I wanted to believe they were going to do something else with these characters, and they didn't. I'm like, all right.
The reason all of the crazy stuff at the end worked to me was specifically because of Man of Steel. Because you have these super powerful beings, but in a way, that movie was more about this crazy technology that could end the world. And so to have that technology still floating around, they needed to deal with that somehow. And to me, that was kind of what they were doing at the end of this movie. Because, yeah, you have technology that can create whatever the heck you want out of a soup. And they fleshed that out pretty easily in the Man of Steel movie. And so, yeah, it felt like them having to deal with all of the loose ends from that I actually kind of liked. And so you combine that with a lot of the other stuff that was floating around that was people just completely geeking out, because, like, we had all of the different previews of it and just gigantic commercials that people saw all of this crazy stuff. So all of the super geeks were getting up and saying, I think this could be this, and I think this could be this. Mm-hmm. And I never really cared about DC all that much. But for me, that's actually what hooked me, was them going overboard on those commercials. Because every time I heard somebody talking about it, I was like, okay, that sounds kind of neat. I'll research that a little bit. And so once I started, like, slowly turning into the super DC geek myself, I still can't 100% call myself that. But once it seeped into me to the amount that it's like, okay, I see why they're doing this and this and this. To me, that entire movie makes sense. But I only had that opportunity because they were in the movie for it. So yeah, it's really weird. It feels almost like, as bad as their presentation of everything was, it almost felt like that was how it was intended to be viewed, is to have it completely ruined and have you reconstructed in your own head.
That's a heck of a headcanon to do for a multi-million-dollar movie. So, okay, now that we've kind of talked about that, so let's draw the lines together. And, like, so do they even compare, or is this an unfair analysis between of the two films?
I'll start since I actually liked it. I liked the movie Batman v Superman, and I didn't hate a lot of the things that people have chosen as really bad things about it. That said, it's not even on the same playing field as the Captain America Civil War, because I'd heard somebody put it this way, and it feels dead on, but also kind of mean at the same time. It's like Batman v Superman is like the JV version of superhero culmination movies, just because they're trying to do all of this stuff and they don't have the background to work with. They can't do that. And to me, it's a miracle it turned out as good as it did, considering that they don't have this backlog of good stories and good characters to pull from to make something interesting. To me, it's the best case scenario, but comparatively, it's garbage.
All right. Joe?
Yeah, I put it sort of in a similar way as, it isn't fair for Batman versus Superman because it doesn't have a bunch of previous movies.
Right.
You know, already kind of adventures of Superman and Batman. The only thing it can draw from is just people's, general other knowledge. Other Batman and Superman movies, but not this universe that they're creating.
Right.
Where the Marvel ones have, okay, you've watched Iron Man, you've watched Captain America, you've watched all these others, and so they've had a bunch of stuff leading up to it, where this is trying to put in a bunch of different things. But so I'll give it that, in a sense of it's kind of not fair to compare it that way. Mm-hmm. It's you can compare it just because it's both as far as it's the heroes having this conflict with each other, and then sort of
resolution of
but yeah, it's still for that angle, it didn't do as nearly as good of a job, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's.
And I think you've hit on something that's kind of important, in that it's Marvel has almost 8 years of history of making movies about characters that are interesting that then relate back to this movie they just made.
Mm-hmm.
And for these new DC movies, we've had really one movie that leads into this one.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was like, really, you're pulling Doomsday on this on this movie? And,
yeah.
And like, Jason, I definitely see your point. Like, there wasn't, for what they were trying to do, there wasn't a lot of other ways to go. I just was surprised that they went with this. Like, this was their ploy. It's just like,
I completely feel you on it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's...
And I guess I'm just, like, annoyed. Like, what, really? Two movies and... One and three quarters movies, and then we don't have Superman anymore?
They should have... It's like, I get why they decided to go this route. Like, it's, you know, hey, Batman's popular. Batman's cool. Like,
yeah.
Hey, people have always wanted Batman and Superman movie. Let's do this, you know. We want to get to the Justice League.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they should have not done this yet, like, or just instead of trying to cram in so much, just either this should have been like, just me personally, like, this should have been like Batman focus central, and then like a little bit of Superman or something, or flip it around, like Superman with a little bit of Batman. Like, they should have, instead of trying to throw in all these little things, they should have went, no, we're going to have that movie, this one first. Like, folk, like, they should have thought of a better way to, they could still tie up some stuff from Man of Steel or something, but still taking at least another movie to kind of get people in, instead of like, hey, you want Batman? You want Superman? Here you go. Hey, you want Wonder Woman too? Hey, you know, like, you're going to get the Flash. He's coming. You're going to get Cyborg. You're going to get these, like, you know, like,
the used car salesman approach to it.
Yeah. There's just, it was just so much like, you guys, like, just take your time. We got the time. We want to see these movies. There's no, like,
yeah. I feel like that's the flaw, inherent flaw, but of Batman v Superman versus Captain America Civil War, is that they're starting from, they're running from the cut. Yeah. DC is quote unquote behind. They've, you know, they're a few years off from where Marvel has been, where Marvel is now, and they kind of want Marvel's cake. They want to like start eating Marvel's lunch. And so they like,
everybody wants to slice of that.
Yeah.
Chunk of that Marvel cake.
And who doesn't? Like, that's like a rich mine of wonderful things that Marvel is using very well. But like, it's almost like the
debatably Disney cake at this point.
But. Yeah. But like, who doesn't want the piece of that one? Like, shoot, they got so much stuff. That's a different issue. But like, you know, Warner Brothers and DC, like, they're like, you can see them pushing so hard, trying to give us something that is like what Marvel is delivering.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's partly why this movie is so much more disappointing to me, is that like, I kind of wanted a more enjoyable, I wanted a movie I could walk away from going, that was a cool movie. And I got something.
I at least wanted pie.
Yes. I didn't necessarily need, like, you know, the 7-tier wedding cake that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now. But a nice, a solid slice of pie would have been good. And just, I didn't.
To give some positives, like, I do like this version of Batman. Like, I like, I think Ben Affleck did a cool job.
I agree. One of the better parts of the movie.
I look forward to the solo Batman they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind a Superman / Clark Kent that still kind of doubts his place in the world. I don't mind that. But you still got to have that. Like, to me, Superman always represented, like, hope. Like, even if you doubt yourself, you still have to give him that. So it makes him like.
Well, what's the symbol supposed to mean?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Supposedly.
And they it's like they've, this version has sort of forgotten that. Like, I get, like, with Man of Steel, like, I get, it's like he he's just starting out to be Superman. So it mm-hmm. makes sense that he still wouldn't be, he wouldn't be the Superman we know of yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, like the only things they did was just showing him like doing heroic stuff.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yeah, there wasn't this, I don't know. I wished they'd.
There was not a maturity of character for us to like sort of feel for him and.
Or still, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't claim to say like I know how they could have done it better. It's just that's just, that was something that was missing with Superman. Like love him or hate him, like he's still got to have like that hope. Like, yeah, he's the good guy, like that everyone wants to rally behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm fine with him still having doubts or not being like the perfect Superman that eventually comes. It's just,
yeah,
give me a little bit of that.
And to that end, I'll actually point out the one thing that I thought was like, to me, who liked the movie, the biggest flaw of that movie. So he's pummeling Doomsday into the air. He managed to get him up into space where he could have just gotten one more like good square hit because he's in zero gravity and he would have just went spiraling off into space. And it goes back to me, the entire like hope thing. In any other movie, that would have been like everybody around the world rallying, like, maybe he can do it. Maybe he's got this like all covered. But instead, it's like, nope, let's pull out the nuclear weapons. This seems like a prime time to shoot some rockets.
let's blow both of them into space and be done with both of them. It's like,
it's like, in what world does that make sense at this point? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
that was the one thing that I was just floored me on that movie.
Yeah, the cynicism of some of the, of this in the background of this movie was a bit like strange. But again, a positive thing, like I think it was good. It was long on style. It had visual representation that I thought was pretty solid for all the things they did do.
Yeah.
That's
been Snyder's forte.
Yeah. And I even think he did that Batfleck was a decent choice. Like I was actually, that's always, I was skeptical because I haven't seen Ben Affleck's more recent work, but like, I was like, oh, Affleck, interesting choice. Oh no, that's actually pretty solid. I liked him. And I agree. I'm looking forward to his solo movie and his appearance in Suicide Squad too. So yeah, but yeah, it is interesting like to try and compare them because they do seem like they're playing on such different level. They're operating on such different levels. It's like it's an unfair comparison.
Yeah. To me, too, the thing that I had a hard time with is I've heard so many people say in the same breath almost like, oh, Batman was my favorite thing about the entire thing. And like you did. But next thing you know, they're saying, "But I can't stand a Batman that would kill anybody." It was like, okay, I thought you really liked this one. It's like, oh yeah, I think he's one of the best Batman ever. It's like, but you don't really like that thing. It's like, no, it's why I can't really support this Batman. And the biggest person to me, like that was the best illustration of this was. The director of Clerks.
Kevin Smith.
Oh. Like, if you end up seeing him talk about that movie, it ends up coming down to him like, yep, not my Batman. But just a moment earlier, he was like really glowing about his friend, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's so many conversations that I've ended up hearing that kind of epitomizes that, yeah, not the best movie ever and whatnot, but at least you have to pick the things that you actually like and stick with them. Mm.
Yeah, I did hear people like kind of like just sort of like question the nature of the cinematic Batman. Like, why is the cinematic Batman generally willing to kill as opposed to the Batman in the comics and the TV shows where he's like he finds a way around killing people like. Yeah, granted. Well,
and what that gets down to is, again, all of the stuff that people are geeking out about around the periphery. Because in theory, you can all make it all make sense if you're looking at it from the angle of what everybody was thinking might be the case. But if you're not looking at it that way, it's like, yeah, he just looks like a jerk who is randomly killing people. But yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm weird because I didn't really look at it that way.
Well, you also like dug into the material that makes that sort of like guides the what made this movie happen.
Yeah.
And most people didn't
like the
know
third
where
or
to
fourth
look.
Layer of fiction because we don't even know if it actually interacts with it or not.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things I've heard some people like that like are just kind of like a bit like off put by this film is like some of the interviews with Zack Snyder afterwards, like hearing him talk about the way he structured the story and stuff. Some of them are like,
oh yeah.
People are like, wow, this guy had no idea what he was doing. Like that's the impression that they walked away with from watching the, from watching the interview.
I
don't know. I haven't seen it myself. So.
I think Zack Snyder personally, I think he's talented in a lot of ways. And I think he makes better movies than people give him credit for in general. But he has a little bit of Trump syndrome. Like, he cannot talk in front of a camera in front of people without saying something really dumb.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next as he has been gently ushered out, so to speak, of the cinematic universe, and they're letting some other directors take over for the forthcoming movies. So,
well, it's just different directors. I'm curious to. Oh, were you gonna?
Well, they outright hired I forget his title, but a new person who's in charge of the actual continuity of the DC cinematic universe.
Ooh,
they
okay.
hired somebody, actually a writer from DC comics.
Oh, okay.
I forget what his credits were, but a lot of people are pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I think it's Jeff Johns. I think
they moved him over
into this. I mean, still with comics, but also having him in the movie realm.
Inspire some hope for the future because he's written some of the bigger and more successful DC plot arcs. He kind of revived the entire Green Lantern series. He brought us Blackest Night.
I hope that doesn't mean we have another Green Lantern movie coming.
I kind of hope it does because I wouldn't mind seeing that Green Lantern as opposed to the one we actually got. But that's a different issue entirely.
No.
Yeah.
I like this movie, but no, Green Lantern will never work.
I think it depends on how you play it, but yeah, I see your point.
But yeah, it'll be curious to see with when you mentioned Suicide Squad, since mm-hmm. that is a different director, different like
mm-hmm.
how well that one does. You know, like
yeah,
it's because if they can pull it off with that and Wonder Woman with different people, then there's still some hope. But mm-hmm. if those don't turn out well, like I'm it makes me. I mean, I was very interested in Suicide Squad, but mm-hmm. now after seeing Batman versus Superman, now I'm even more interested just to see, like, okay, what
else are they going to do?
Can they pull it out of the fire,
someone else's
too?
Hands?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the things that I'm curious about, like, because this will also be the first DC movie that wasn't helmed, that in the recent DC universe, that wasn't helmed by Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
So that will be, like, kind of like, oh, this will be our first taste of something other than Zack Snyder pie. So
nope.
yeah, I think that's decent place to wrap things up for the moment. Do you guys have any final thoughts about either movie or specifically Civil War that you want to make sure that you get out before we wrap up our analyses?
I'm trying to think of the absolute most deep, meaningful thing that I possibly can.
Well, you work on that, Joe.
Meaningful, but yeah, I just. The fight between Batman and Superman, it's still, that just bummed me so much. Like,
Fair enough. But,
man.
Yeah, it's funny, that fight right there, it was sort of my same problem with the very beginning of the Civil War movie, is that things could have been diffused so easily if at like one point somebody would have chosen to handle it just a little bit different. And again, it's down to like overanalyzing what and whatnot. But when Batman or when Superman's trying to explain to Batman, like, wait, no, I just hear me out. Mm-hmm. Come on now. And he's getting hit by bullets and whatnot. He has the choice to kind of like play dead at that point and just keep talking. But instead he gets frustrated and shoves Batman through a wall.
Yeah.
And it's like, if he wouldn't have shoved Batman through a wall, I think this would be a very different scene. Because, I mean, even Batman at some point would be like, okay, I'm just tired of beating on this guy when he's just taking it. I want it to at least be a fun fight. At some point, Batman's going to end up running into that wall. Instead, he was thrown through a different wall. Yeah. And yeah, in the Civil War, they kind of had the same thing. It's like, and to me, it's not Captain America who made the error. It was Bucky. It was when it comes down to that fight where they're kind of they have all of the SWAT team ready to come in and apprehend Bucky. I completely understand how Captain America dealt with that entire situation, just because Bucky decided to try and punch his way out of the situation. And if Bucky wouldn't have decided to punch his way out of that situation, the entire movie would be completely different.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing to me, though, is that it could have been, in my view, just as good, because it would have been Bucky getting even quicker into the hands of the government where – what's his name? The
Zemo.
Name, where Zemo could have started his plan up. So effectively, you could have had even more interesting stuff with Zemo's plan and cut a lot of that stuff out of there. So,
yeah, interesting. Both movies are, I think, worth seeing. Opinions vary. I definitely like Civil War more. The DC universe is still finding its feet, so I'm like trying to give it the benefit of the doubt right now. But yeah, I look forward to seeing what the next movies bring. And Marvel, just keep on keeping on. Don't try and get too fancy.
They did, kind of speaking on that, it's kind of how they've mapped it out so far. Like it's almost, I imagine they had this in mind. It's perfect that the next one is Doctor Strange, because it can kind of disregard, like it doesn't have to touch on everything that happened in Civil War.
Yeah.
So you don't have to cleanser. Like, well, what's going on with them? They split up and all those things. Like, nope, we're over here now.
Right.
Like it's,
and it's also the introduction of like true mysticism. Cause even Thor isn't mysticism; it's hyper advanced science.
Yeah,
and I can't express how excited I am for that. Plus, from the trailers, it looks like they actually did a good job of like making the old like weird, the super weird page layouts where things are bending and transitioning through all over the place. Like, how are they going to get that feel across? Did a pretty decent job, but that's a different subject for a different day. Civil War. It was good. You should go check it out. It's good. It's probably still available someplace, either on screen or on rental.
Yeah, by the time we listen to this, I'm sure it's available somewhere.
Yeah. Any final thoughts overall? Not anyone in particular about the movies, but yeah.
Wait, huh?
Final thoughts about our discussion.
Oh,
sorry.
About the end of the world. I encourage the hate for the Batman v Superman movie, just because it will make anything that's halfway decent that comes from them seem that much greater. So I think that's a good thing. I'd encourage people to hate the Civil War movie also, for the same reasons? They're going to have a harder time.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, for the same reasons. It's Marvel is kind of messing themselves up here.
Setting the bar too high.
Don't know. It's starting to become obvious that they don't know what they're doing.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But yeah, having not seen Civil War, like, because the Russo brothers did Winter Soldier, and I was like, all right, okay, cool, that's good. And then now this was sort of their taste of a big scale version. Yeah. They handled that really well, so it gives me a lot of faith for Infinity War.
Yes.
Since they're going to be doing it, it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nothing against Joss Whedon, but yeah, like
that they're okay, talking about renaming too, so it might be a completely different movie than we were thinking it was going to end up being. So
I'm not against this. Against any, all of that sounds great because they've shown themselves to handle all this really well, and kudos.
They'll just name it Captain America versus Thanos, since the Captain right. America's movies have done really well.
Captain America.
We gotta put Captain America in it.
Captain America Thanos War.
Yeah.
That'll be the first of the two.
Yeah. Captain America Thanos War or Cosmic War.
yeah. There you go.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for sharing your thoughts. If you want to hear more of our banter like this, but maybe in a more bite-sized version, you can check us out on robotsattack.me. You can find our other show, Robots Attack, and you can find us on our radio station, the station that we broadcast on with KSU 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Mondays, about 7-ish to 9-ish.
And if you want to find me on Twitter, DjangoFett25. I also stream on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/DjangoFett25. So
good stuff. Check him out.
Yeah, and I might start doing the same thing relatively soon.
Sweet.
With the screen name is Vilvestri, both on Xbox and on Twitch. So, yeah, hit me up too.
Very good. You can find me at Kiko Supremo on Twitter. And I'm currently not streaming or anything like that. So that's about the place. That's the best place to find me.
We'll stream him at some point.
That will be very odd. Anyways, have a good night or good day, enjoyment time, person thing. Be good to each other.